1 Samuel chapter number 1. Growing up, I would grow up in Irondequoit. It was a kind of a small three-bedroom house, one bathroom, and on the first floor, you'd walk in, and there'd be a living room, a dining room, and then there's a bedroom in the back. When we bought the house, it was the previous owner's office or whatever, but that ended up being my mom's room. And, you know, growing up, I would often find my mom in her room. I can see the headboard. I can see she had before LED and things, there was this like little clamp light. So it would like clip on things and it had a light. And she would sit there and she'd read her Bible or books and she would pray. And I would often find my mother in her room praying. As a young boy and teenager, she's got a lot to talk to God about. There's a lot. What is she talking to him about all the time? I mean, I understand the sins of my sister, but mine? I mean, you know, like, I didn't always know what she was praying about or for, but I'm a parent. I'm an adult. I have a much better idea. We didn't grow up in ideal circumstances. It was the course that Lord gave to us, and my mom did her best to make the best of it. Growing up, pasta was a staple meal, and we'd eat that a lot, some chicken, some salad. And that was dinner a lot. My mom had a disease, and eventually it would eventually turn into a brain tumor. I remember the first surgery. Well, they went in and tried to get it, and they didn't get it all. You don't want to have brain surgery twice, but that's what ended up happening to her. And Lord saw her through that, and she had years after that, and thankful. She passed away to what I consider early, too young. And she was 48 when she passed away. She had a heart attack. I think you know, now that I have children, man, I sure would like she passed away before I was married, before I had children, and she taught me a lot, but I have some questions. I have a son that's a lot like me, and I need some help. What'd you do? Lord has blessed us with 5 wonderful children. This morning, Sarah was ironing a shirt, and they were just being them in the kitchen. Was there criticism and sarcasm? Very strong, very strong. We're in the other room. Why don't you stop that? I don't know. I can't. I don't know how. I need some help. But she taught me this. Not because she ever said it, but because she demonstrated it, how important it was to pray. And this morning's message is the power of a praying mother. 1 Samuel chapter number 1, kind of a unique circumstance here. I won't necessarily tell the whole backstory. We'll kind of jump in around verse 5. 1 Samuel chapter number 1. Verse 5, but unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, and he loved Hannah. Who's this? Elkanah, her husband. And he loved Hannah, but The Lord had shut up her womb. That means Hannah couldn't have children. There was another person in the house. Her name was Peninnah, and she would ridicule Hannah because of that. The Bible says in verse 6, "And her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb." There's some things you can't get around. If God says you're not going to have kids, you're not going to have kids. I mean, certainly I encourage you to the adoption process, and there's opportunities. There's a lot of kids that need a home. I'll tell you that. But here, Hannah couldn't have kids. Peninnah could, and Peninnah would mock and ridicule Hannah on a regular basis. The Bible says this in verse 7, "And as he did so year by year, then when she went up into the house of the Lord, so she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat." Year after year, they would go and they would have this special feast, and we'll see a little bit about that in a few moments, and we'll see Hannah praying. But year after year, could you imagine, what was her request? Maybe in your life you have some prayer requests, but there's a big one at the top. Maybe it's a salvation of a loved one, or there's a circumstance or whatever. And whenever there's time to pray, you're praying about that. Well, that was Hannah. "God, if you would, I should love a child." And the Bible uses this phrase year by year. And that's a long time. Years would pass. If you look in the same chapter, look at verse 10. The Bible says, "And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore." Ever been in trials and difficulty of life? Maybe your life's a little bit different than mine, but life isn't always easy. Actually, I'm met more with difficulty than me ease, I think. I don't know. So you're doing it wrong. Okay, well, you help me out then. I don't know. But what do you do when life gets difficult? I learned that from my mom. When life gets difficult, the best thing that we can do is pray. When she is sore in bitterness, hey, it is not time to push God away. It is time to run to the Lord. As I was talking with someone before service, throw yourself at the feet of Jesus and say, "I need your help." But oftentimes, what do? Things aren't going my way. This isn't how I planned it. Life isn't going how I had foreseen. When I was 10 years old or 15 years old, I thought in 10 years I would be at this place, or at 20 years I'd be at this place. And you look at your life and go, wow, it hasn't gone. And it's an opportunity for the devil to get in there and cause a little bitterness. And unfortunately, oftentimes bitterness leads to unprayerful times. But what did Hannah do? She prayed. Hey, what do you do when difficult times come? Well, I try and solve the problem myself. I'm helping you here. The best thing you could do is pray. Mom, if there was something you could teach your children. Again, I didn't have the opportunity to sit down with mom and say, "All right, explain to me this parenting thing. Explain to me children. Explain to me how they work." And I didn't get that. But I got a really important lesson. Son, when times get difficult. Daughters, when times get difficult. When life doesn't go according to plan, you need to pray. Year by year. Prayers ought to be faithful. Not giving up. The Bible says in verse 11, "And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head." She says, hey, if you gave me a child, if you answered what I this prayer, right? God, I promise you, I'll give him back to you. Dedicated for your use. Hey, as a parent, there's nothing better that we could do with our children than putting our children in the hands of the Lord. Hey, you want to do a great disservice to your children? Try and raise them yourself. So what do you mean? Well, how else would I do it? God's help. Find out how God wants them and help them with that. We can lead them to the Lord. The power of a praying mother. Here we see a faithful prayer year after year in the midst of trials and difficulties. So how did it go? Well, in verse 20, wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. God answers her prayer year after year. I want to encourage you. There's a lot of things that we can give up on. Say, what is that? There's habits or whatever, and maybe a job change or a career, you know, something like that. But there's something we ought not to ever give up on, and that's prayer. I was encouraged when I was reading about Hannah as a praying mother year after year. It's easy to thank God for the blessings, but what about the difficulties? What about the trials? As I told you, we kind of went through some difficult things growing up. So what did that do? Did that scar you? Yeah, that scarred me pretty good. It scarred me pretty good. Why? Because I saw an example that when the most difficult days of our home came about, my mom would go to the Lord and pray. Taught me something. Year after year. What a great lesson. Hey, moms. Hey, Christian. What do you do when you fall in difficult times? You pray? Do you bring these things to the Lord? That's the right answer. And here at the end, man, the Lord bless there. Lord bless. It was right for Hannah to do it, whether she got Samuel or not. Well, I'll pray when he answers them. Well, how can you? You need to pray to get the answer. Be faithful. Don't give up on prayer. Well, it didn't work. Again, may I remind you of that phrase? Year after year. In Genesis chapter number 12, we're going to look at four prayers of mothers. Number one, we saw the prayer of Hannah, a faithful prayer that wouldn't give up in difficult times. You know, it's easy to call God, God when things are going good. But how about when things don't go good? There's two characters here, two people, if you will. You say character and it makes them sound like they're squirrely, but we got two people in the scriptures here. They're married to each other, Abraham and Sarah. And God makes a promise to Abraham. In Genesis chapter number 12 and verse 4, in Genesis 12, 3, it says, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And God establishes a covenant with Abraham. He says, I'm going to bless you. If you jump over to chapter 17, he says it again. Chapter 17, in verse 15. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah. He changes her name. Abram went to Abraham, Sarai goes to Sarah. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations, kings of people shall be of her. Going off of that previous promise made in Genesis chapter number 12. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed. Why would Abraham laugh? Well, Abraham's kind of up in years. And said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, that is 90 years old, bear? They kind of laughed about it. Could you, Brother Sutliff, no offense, I mean, you're nowhere close to 100, but if, hey, a Wednesday night, we ask for prayers, and hey, anybody have a blessing? Brother Sutliff puts his hand up, goes over to Isaiah, or Psalms there, and says, as an arrow is in the hand of a hunter, and he starts, hey, pray for us, we're expecting. Whoa! Mrs. Sutliff would be like, whoa! Why is that? No offense, brother, but it's kind of past time. That's why they kind of laughed to themselves. And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. He's like, yeah, I got a son. He said, no, no, no. And God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear a son indeed. And thou shalt call his name Isaac. And thou wilt establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant with his seed after him. Abraham and Sarah are old at this point. 190. I don't think we have anyone here 90. Any 90s? Any 90s? All right. Did I miss your hand? Are you still getting it up if it's 90? Okay. Okay. All right. Good. No 90s. Not yet. But some years ago, God made a promise to them. And then some 25 years later, he comes back and he says, don't you remember? I've made you a promise. Sometimes prayer takes time to answer. For Sarah, it was when she was 90. My encouragement to you through this is don't stop praying in your old age. You know, it's easy to kind of, well, we're all established. There's nothing really more that God has for us. Imagine if Abraham and Sarah thought that. God, you're done. Why don't you move on to the next crowd? Move on to the next couple. Our time is over. No, no. Don't stop on your faith when you get older. I want to encourage you here today. I'm thankful for our senior saints. Why? Because they're a wealth of wisdom and encouragement to me. And you're so kind to us. The other day I was at Cronies and there was a table of experience. Say, what does that mean? Well, I just walked up to him. I said, man, this is where I should be sitting. Gain some experience. Hey, I'm thankful for that. Although your age gets up in years, we should never quit praying. Colossians chapter number 4 and verse 2 says, continue in prayer and watch in the same thanksgiving. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Hey, Sarah, all her life, Hagar had a son, but she had none. All her life. You know what? Little girls, when little girls play, and this is what they should be, they're playing house, and they're a teacher, they're a nurse, and they do all of that, or they're the mother, right? And there they are, and they get their little kitchen play sets and say, that's so narrow-minded. That's how it should be. We should teach our girls to be princesses and teach our boys to be knights. Knights defend princesses. Knights get to carry swords. That's cool. And princesses are lovely and oh, you're going to spoil them. Absolutely. That's what I want to do. And there they are and they're little Sarai. She's playing house and she's doing that. And her prayer is that one day she would have a child. And God shows up and he says, oh, I'm going to make you the father of all nations. And she's like, oh, this is going to be amazing. And year after year, and now she's 90. Ever wonder if God forgot? Lord, remember what those promises you made me? I feel like you kind of forgot about. No, no, he didn't forget. And I want to encourage you as you get up in years. Oh, maybe the exercise kind of falls by the wayside a little bit. Maybe some of the activities that you used to do would fall by the wayside. Hey, there's something that ought not to ever fall by the wayside in our life. And that's prayer. In Psalm 116 in verse 2, it says, because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call unto him as long as I live. Hey, may we never get to the place, Benjamin, may we never get to the place where we say, God, I'm done with you. I don't need you anymore. No, whether we're 90 or 9 years old, we ought not to quit in our old age on prayer. That ought to be a thread that runs all the way through our life. Be faithful to prayer. Don't give up on prayer in your old age. As long as I live. Luke chapter number 1. We have 2 more. So what are you trying to do here? I'm just trying to encourage you to be faithful. Faithful to prayer. As a parent, sometimes we feel like I don't know what's going on. I don't know how to handle these situations. May I encourage you to pray. Talk to the Lord. In Luke chapter number 1, in verse 46, and Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in the God my Savior. Man, isn't that in God my Savior? Mary needed a Savior. You see that? That's good. Say, what's the big deal about that? Well, she wasn't the Savior. She needed a Savior. Much to the chagrin of our other teachers, not in this place. All right. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaid. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. The power of a praying mother. Number 1, faithful prayers. Number 2, to continue on in age. Number 3, a prayer of praise. This circumstance is such, this is a once in a all of creation moment. And I understand maybe ours aren't as extreme as that, but this is a difficult situation. Mary, espoused, that means engaged, is now with child. Not readily accepted back then. It was a point of disgrace. And what does she say? She says, for he that is mighty hath done great things, and holy is his name. My soul doth magnify the Lord. I don't know how we could, but could you imagine being in the circumstance that Mary found herself in? Say, what did she do? She rejoiced in God my Savior. Hey, our home wasn't ideal growing up, and maybe I have a slanted view of memories, but I gravitate to the good things and try and remember those things, and I don't remember my mom complaining too often. I don't remember her saying that God did us wrong or somehow we got the short end of the stick in any way. Yes, there was difficulties. But I would regularly hear my mom praise the Lord. Years ago, Lucy played that auto harp. Remember that? And that was my mom's. I would regularly hear, again, I know other people have had it harder. I'm not saying that. I'm not trying to get pity. I'm just saying, in difficult circumstances, I don't remember my mom making a big deal of the difficult circumstances. I remember her praising the Lord. Mary here lifts up her voice, and she uses her voice to express, hey, God, you did me wrong. This is a disgrace. You've forgotten about me. No, that's not what she said at all. She says, my life and what I'm about, I just want to magnify God. She praised him. She rejoiced in her Savior. One of the most important prayers that you can make is for Jesus to be your Savior. So how do I do that? Well, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but we're all sinners. Every single last one. From Brother McDowell, the song leader. Brother McDowell, do you sin before? Absolutely. From all the way over to the Miss Megan flowers and oatmeal cream pies. Say, how could someone that hand makes oatmeal cream pies be a sinner? Hey, every single one of us. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Say, what does that mean? That means we all need a Savior. Every single one. Mary included. If you're going to pray a prayer, Lord, I'm a sinner. Say, what's the problem with sin? It's not allowed in heaven. You got to get rid of it. Say, I'll get rid of it. How much? I'll tell you how much. Cost the only begotten Son of God to die on a cross, to shed His blood to pay for your sin. That's how much. So what does He need from me? He needs me to humble myself and come before God and say, God, I'm a sinner, and there's no way I could get to heaven outside of You. Please forgive me and be my Savior. That's how. Not only a song of praise, or the prayer of praise, but a prayer of salvation. We all need a Savior. So I'll go find one. There's only one. Go to 1 John chapter number 4. We'll look at a couple verses here, and then we'll move on to our last. Say, Pastor, you're a little sappy. Thinking about my mom makes me like that. She taught me some things. And I'm so glad that my children have had an opportunity to see Sarah, who walks with the Lord and demonstrates these things. You're getting up in age, too. Opportunity. I'll show those things. 1 John chapter number 4 and verse 14. So you're going to be in trouble. Probably. You're going to need some prayer. 1 John 4, 14 says, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Why did Jesus have to come here? To save the world from their sin. That's why. 1 John chapter number 2. Just go back a page. The Bible says in verse 2, and He is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. What is propitiation? That's not a word I'm familiar with. He's the payment. He exchanged Himself for the penalty of sin. We simply just have to have faith and trust and believe in Him. Say, can I earn my salvation? You cannot. You cannot buy it. You cannot earn it. You can't find it even hidden in the mountains of Nepal. No. It's only through Jesus Christ. The prayer of praise, but the prayer within that of Jesus being your Savior. Lastly, Matthew chapter number 15. No, we have a majority of adults in this room. And the kids, we do that by design. The kids are in the classrooms. And we're thankful for them, and we love our kids. And But we have Sunday school lessons geared towards their age group. We have pre-K, kindergarten, first and second, third and fourth, fifth and sixth. And thankful for our Sunday school teachers that just work and serve and do that week after week. And I understand what I'm talking to here. I'm not necessarily talking to the kids, although some of our teenagers are here. But this is for adults a little bit. But I want you to look at this passage here in Matthew chapter number 15, starting in verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed in the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto Him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Sounds serious. And he answered her not a word. That's kind of strange, isn't it? And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. Hey, she's kind of annoying. That's what it's saying. Jesus didn't even give her the time of day, didn't even acknowledge that she was there. But he answered and said, I am not sent unto the lost sheep. I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. This woman wasn't a Jew. She wasn't an Israelite. He says, I'm not here for you. So that seems strange. Bible says, then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. You want to get the Lord's attention. Humble yourself and just come to him and say, Lord, I need your help. Moms ever feel like that? Every morning. Trying to find matching shoes and trying to get the kids on the bus and trying to do this or trying to teach the kids or trying to deal with my husband and all of that. Lord, I need your help. He answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. He's talking kind of sharp. And she said, truth, Lord. And this is true at our house. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Trapper, our dog, will situate himself seated by the messiest of children and my mother-in-law. I don't know. He sits right by my mother-in-law. I think she feeds him, but she is kind of messy. So, and he'll just sit right there. Why? Because he knows things are going to fall to the ground. And it's better than, I mean, we get him salmon and lamb, or whatever it is, and good food, but he likes ours better, which I would agree. And that's what she says. She says, even the dogs get a little. And Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. She wasn't there for herself. One of the most familiar attributes of a mother is self-sacrifice. Say, what do you mean by that? They do what's for everybody else. It's time and day after day after day, we see that. What do you need, son? What do you need, daughter? And here she is at the feet of Jesus, pleading on behalf of her child that had a great need. One of the heaviest hearts you'll find is that of a praying mother. Understand that when a child, listen, we all have, every single one of us has a free will. This morning you're here, not by accident, but by choice. Say, I didn't get a choice. Well, eventually you will have that choice. Eventually you'll get to the place in life where you're not brought to church, you drive yourself to church. And you're going to have to make that decision. And I understand that, but understand that with those decisions, some people choose to wander away from the things of the Lord. That's heavy to a parent's heart. Here you have a mother and their child is being affected by the enemy. And that's very heavy for her. If you have a child that is not walking with the Lord, and maybe you're that child, do you know how heavy that is to a parent? Why? Because I know what the truth is. And I want to see you grow in the Lord and receive the blessings of God. And to see you wander from that's so very heavy. I can't make decisions for you. You're your own person now. But you know. You know till my dying day, I'm going to bring your circumstance before God. And I'm going to beg God to get a hold of your heart and get a hold of your life. And if you'd ever been on the other side, if you ever that child that wandered away from the things of God, to have a praying parent pull you back in, you know what that's like. The prayer of a mother that her child be made whole. Know that if you've wandered away from God, that there's a mother at the feet of Jesus begging that that wayward child would return back home. To what effect? I think God has a special ear tuned to that. Say, why? Why do you think that? Look at this passage. Tried to push her away, and she just was faithful in that. Don't give up. Don't stop praying. Because maybe one day that despair will turn to healing. Maybe you're the one that's away. So I didn't know it brought such grief. Hey, don't get right for mom. Get right because it's right. But know that there's one praying for you. Sometimes parenting feels like maybe I'm backslidden. But sometimes parenting feels like it's hopeless. I know. But today we will be reminded that that is the complete opposite. Because much can be accomplished through prayer. It's almost not fair. Say, what do you mean? To equip one person with such power. The power of a praying mother. It is your most powerful tool. Do not neglect it. Do not give up on it. Stay faithful to it. If you're here today and you're not saved, I invite you to come meet the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've wandered away, would you come? Would you come home? Let's all stand. Moms, I encourage you. Say, I don't know what I'm doing. If you're praying, you're doing the right thing. If you're praying, you're doing the right thing. Well, I'm old. Don't stop praying. In the moment, Mrs. Huber is going to come up and she's going to play the piano. If you could you play that Softly and Tenderly song again? In that song, it invites. It talks about the reality of life. Hey, well, maybe you got involved in sin. Why don't you leave off of that sin and just come home? Could I encourage you here today? Maybe you feel like it's hopeless. As a mom, I don't know what else to do. Can I encourage you to be a prayerful mother? If you're here today and you're not saved, why don't you choose to follow the Lord Jesus Christ? Ask the Lord to forgive you of your sin and follow Him. See, life is difficult. Yep. Pray. Pray. And I have a moment of invitation. Maybe you want to pray with your mom. Maybe she's here today. Maybe you want to pray for your mom. Mom, maybe you want to pray for your kids that Any time spent in prayer will not be a waste of time. Heavenly Father, we ask that you bless the time of invitation now. Lord, thank you for those women and that have gone to you on our behalf. Lord, thank you for their faith. Thank you for them magnifying you. Thank you for the fact that they were an example to us. Lord, may we be an example to the next generation. Lord, bless this time now. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. If the Lord touched your heart this morning, I invite you to come. What could God do if you would simply just humble your heart? Humble yourself before God. Maybe you want to come just thank God for your mom. Maybe your life is the distressing life at this moment. Maybe you just want to come and say, you know what, I've gotten sideways in that. I've gotten a little bitter in that. I want to come and just praise the Lord for that. Maybe you have a child that's needing to be made whole. Just come talk to the Savior about that. Remember, much can be accomplished through prayer, year after year. There's a lot of buffets throughout town today. Say, I know I've hit two already before church. The fact that you chose to be with us this morning, praise the Lord, thank you for being here. My desire is that you would be encouraged through the scriptures and helped. And I pray that happened. Maybe just be a little more appreciative of what is in your life and the people that have made the impact in your life. We're going to be back together tonight. I invite you to come back. We'll be starting John chapter number 5 tonight. We'll go through the first 15 verses or so and see what the Lord has for us in that passage. And thankful for the Word of God. As we said in our last Sunday school class, in my class there, it tells us where we came from and why we're here and where we're going. Man, every opportunity we ought to open it up and see what God thinks about things. Again, I'm glad you're here today. I pray that you'd have a blessed afternoon, and we look forward to seeing you back here. Say, is this like permanent decoration? We'll leave it here tonight. Some said we should just leave it here, and then we can see how we're doing at getting it out, and if you want it gone, come out some Saturdays, and then we'll get it. But we're going to maneuver them around a little bit. Some we want to save for next year and things, and just realistically. But we are probably going to keep them up in here, and again, what a blessing. If you had an opportunity to be part of that on Friday night, man, what a blessing that was. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, God, thank you for who you are. Thank you for wisdom, the guidance that you give us. Thank you for the examples that you have given us. Lord, we want to be that example to the next generation. Lord, help us. God, help us to not give up. and talking with you. Lord, watch over us now. Thank you for our mothers. Lord, we love you. Thank you for the example of unconditional love that we've seen in our moms. Lord, bless our afternoon now and help us to return safely. Thank you again for filling the bus today. Lord, what a blessing. Lord, give us wisdom on what to do next. Lord, just have your hand about the entire day here today. Lord, I pray, even as we are concluding the service, if someone here today isn't saved, that they would humble themselves and call upon you. Lord, if someone has wandered away, that they would return back home. Lord, thank you for your patience. Thank you for your love. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a great afternoon.